May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. How long has it been since you heard a preacher ask you whether you knew where you would wake up if you died tonight? It's been a while since someone asked me that question. Not long enough, but it's been a while since I heard it. What if you don't know the answer? What if you're not sure? Does that mean you're definitely going to hell? How sure do you have to be to get into heaven? And of what must you be so sure? The whole thing? Just the important parts? What if I'm 100% convinced about the resurrection, but only 85% convinced about the virgin birth? Can I still squeak into the pearly gates? What about the even less important things, like whether there really were 5,000 men plus women and children sitting on that hillside when Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Or was it 2 loaves and 5 fish? Anyway, what about those bits? What if I don't remember that? What if I don't believe that? And who is it that gets to decide what the important parts are and what the not so important parts are? And is there anybody out there who can tell me what they are before it's too late for me? I find it funny, and by funny, I mean laugh out loud funny, that preachers who are obsessed with heaven and hell seem to talk a lot about faith without ever really mentioning grace at all. Maybe that shouldn't surprise us. Grace is tricky. Grace is a lot trickier than faith. Faith seems like the kind of thing that comes from within us and so is something that's easier for us to understand, the kind of thing that we manufacture on our own, maybe even something we choose or control. And because of that, right or wrong, faith becomes something that preachers can weaponize when they climb into the pulpit and ask you, do you have enough of it? Because if you don't, you know what will happen. Grace doesn't lend itself to that kind of sermon. Grace isn't the ammunition of the fiery preacher, because grace doesn't come from us, it comes from God. It's a gift. By definition, it's a gift. It's something we don't deserve, something we don't earn, something we don't control. So grace is harder to get our minds around, harder to wrap our hearts around, like something that kind of slips through our fingers. Even in our tradition, where we talk a lot about God's unconditional love, grace can still be a pretty tough thing to figure out. Many of you knew Jack Charlton before he died. He was a saintly man who knew as well as anybody I'd ever met what it meant to love another person selflessly, but even Jack struggled with grace. Several times before he died, he admitted to me that he just didn't understand it. And usually when he told me that, I looked at him and said, I don't understand it either. But I know it's a good thing, and I know we need it. But that never seemed to satisfy him in that way. It's a lot easier to believe in a God who gives us what we deserve. That people who reject God and reject his ways go to hell, and people who choose God and choose his ways go to heaven. But that's not grace. That's just a nicer way of saying that you'd better be sure where you'll wake up if you die tonight. If we believe in grace, we have to believe that it doesn't depend on us, that it depends entirely on God, that God does all the work. And so maybe that's why it's so hard for us to understand. When I saw this gospel lesson this week, it made me think about Jack, because I found in this lesson not an explanation of grace, but an experience of it. And it made me wish I'd found it when I still had a chance to talk to him about it. It wasn't quite dark yet when Jesus put the disciples in the boat and sent them across the sea. But by the time Jesus came down the mountain and walked across the water to them, the sun had already begun to lighten the sky, which is to say, those disciples struggled against the wind and the waves all night long. Despite working at it all night long, Matthew tells us they were still smack dab in the middle of the sea, a long way from any shore, and it didn't seem that they were making any headway. So Jesus strode out across the waves to find them. When they saw Jesus, rather than being reassured, they were terrified. So scared were those disciples that they assumed this figure before them was a ghost, which means it was easier for them to believe that a ghost had found them than that Jesus had found them. Well, after Jesus identified himself and said some reassuring words, Peter took the opportunity to test this apparition to see indeed whether it was his master. And he said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out on the water to you." Jesus said, "Come on." So Peter slid his legs over the side of the boat and slipped off the gunwale. And when his feet touched the surface of the water, behold, they were held up by the water. It caught his weight. But pretty soon, Peter walked beyond the lee of the vessel, and he started to feel the force of that wind that they had fought all night long. Peter began to think this wasn't such a good idea after all. And like weights upon his ankles, his doubts started to accumulate, dragging him down, down, lower and lower toward the surface of the water. And so he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out and caught him by the arm and lifted it up and escorted him back to the boat. And after they had climbed aboard, immediately the wind ceased. The disciples, seeing who it was that was in front of them, fell down and worshiped him. And maybe the most important part of that story for us to notice is that Peter tests Jesus, not the other way around. Peter didn't have enough faith to make it to Jesus. He had enough faith to get things started, but as soon as he felt that wind hit his face, that faith crumbled like an overbaked cookie. He was in trouble, and he began to sink and did the only thing he knew to do, which was to cry out, "Lord, save me." And what was Jesus' reaction? He reached out and saved him. But it didn't have to be that way. Jesus could have stood there and said, "What happened to your faith, Peter? You got yourself into this mess. Why don't you believe your way out of it?" But that's not what Jesus says, because that's not who Jesus is. That's not who God is. That's not how salvation works. Grace is Jesus reaching out and catching us when our faith fails us. Grace is God looking down and lifting us up when we've forgotten who it is that has the power to reach down and lift us up. Our faith doesn't save us. If our faith saved us, we'd be sunk like Peter as soon as those doubts started to creep in. God saves us. God's grace saves us. So what role does faith have in this whole thing? Faith is the means by which we see the one who is reaching down to save us. As Paul writes in Ephesians, "By grace you have been saved through faith." Through faith. Faith is the vehicle or the lens through which the picture of salvation becomes clear, and we discover who it is that's been saving us all along, like a blindfold being taken off or a quick look over our shoulder to see that God has been there all along. Faith is how we connect the dots. Faith is how we know who it is that's responsible for our salvation. Faith is how we trust that when the wind kicks up again, God will be with us. But even when that faith falls apart, even when we find ourselves sinking below the waves, not sure how everything will turn out, the future is certain. God's salvation is assured. God doesn't love you because you believe in him. God loves you because that's who God is. God saves you not because you think that 100% of what the preacher says is true. God saves you because that's who God is. Grace is the foundation for our religion, not a life well lived or a conviction firmly grasped. God doesn't care whether you believe in him or not. God's going to love you just the same either way. But isn't it great to know it? Isn't it wonderful to see it? Isn't it transformative to believe that yes, indeed, God is the one who has saved us and who will always save us? That's faith. Faith is the comfort and the confidence we need when the wind kicks up. Faith is the assurance that even when it seems like we have no way out, there is always a way out through God. Faith means knowing that even when we don't have that faith, God is still with us, that we cannot outrun God's love. Believe. Believe not to convince yourself or God or anyone else that you belong to God, but believe because of who God is. Trust and know that your salvation is in God's arms. You can't lose it. Believe it with all your heart and let that love and that confidence, that faith, follow you every day. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.